All right, good morning. How's everyone doing? Glad you're here. Let's begin with asking the Lord to join us and bless our time gathering around His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You responding to Your call to us that You have shown a great light to us in some way and brought us to faith in Jesus Christ, and You continue to do that. And so we thank You and we respond today by gathering around Your Word with Your people to hear from You, to pray to You, to praise You, to give thanks for everything. So Lord, would You join us? Would You calm our hearts and our minds now as we give this time to You and to Your people and to Your work on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, search our hearts now as we prepare for the confession and receiving Your forgiveness. What plagues our heart or our mind right now, Lord? We give it to You. We trust You with the concerns. We trust You with the future, the past, the present. We trust You with it right now. And we thank You for hearing our prayers. We thank You for Your death and resurrection, for taking these things for us. We give them to You and we praise You. So bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue that idea of wrestling with whatever is difficult, all the classwork you have and all the things that have to be done. And let's just confess that we aren't strong enough to handle all of it. And in fact, it's not that we're not strong enough. We're not even good enough. And so there's good news that Jesus is good enough. On page D, it's our prayer of confession, and we do it together to remind ourselves you're not alone in your weakness and in your brokenness. Let's pray together, saying, "Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved You with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve Your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Renew us and lead us so that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways to the glory of Your holy name. Amen." And Almighty God in His mercy has given His Son to die for you and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Receive and rest in that. That's the best part of confession, is receiving forgiveness in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. You're a good Father. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's two readings today from the Scriptures. The first one will be found in the book of Exodus, chapter 24, and it's going to be verse 8 through 18. This is just to give you the setup a little bit. God has started defining what worship will look like for the people of Israel and is meeting with them at the mountain. And He calls all the elders together before hearing from God. So this is the setup, and Kevin is going to read for us Exodus 24, verses 8 through 18. It's the Word of God. Thanks be to God. There's the original mountain that's on fire with the cloud, the glory of God. Moses ascends up to speak to God, and the elders are at the foot of the mountain, invited to a meal. They see God, but they can't approach Him. Moses approaches Him. And then, I don't know how many thousands of years later, we approach another mountain where God appears to His people. And that's what we'll read now in Matthew chapter 17. Verse 1 through 9, Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 through 9. This is called the Transfiguration, the Mount of Transfiguration. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And he was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. So hopefully you see some of the connections there. There's a mountain, there's a cloud, there's a bright light, and there's God. But there's an interesting verse here that hits us this time. And it's verse 5. It says, He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed, and a voice from the cloud said, What I'm focusing on today and what I love the idea of is that while Peter is still speaking, God interrupts him. He interrupts Peter. God says, Okay, good enough, and starts talking. Now, one of my favorite lines of interruption, you know, everyone loves to be interrupted, right? Because you know what you're saying is just rubbish, and the person who's interrupting you has something better to say. Almost always, you know that. Well, I don't know if you remember or you ever watched the movie Moonrise Kingdom. It's a Wes Anderson movie, and it's quirky, and I like those movies. But the two main characters are like 12-year-olds, Sam and Susie, and they're running away, essentially. And there's this scene where Susie says to Sam, she goes, I always wished I was an orphan. Most of my favorite characters are. I think your lives are more special because Sam's an orphan. Sam interrupts her and says, I love you, but you don't know what you're talking about. And then she says, I love you too. It's my favorite interruption. I love you, but you don't know what you're talking about. It's almost a sandwich, you know? It's almost a complimentary sandwich. And this is what God does. He says, Peter, I love you, but you don't know what you're talking about. Because Peter enters into this, he's trying to figure out what to do. So the scene is a mount where Jesus Christ is showing his divine nature. Is that coffee? He's displaying his divine nature. Doesn't always happen. He's mostly in his human nature, and there's little moments when his divine peeks through. And when we see his divine nature, it's an interruption. When you're confronted with Jesus Christ, it's an interruption. Today, God not only interrupts Peter, but he's going to interrupt you. He interrupts me, and it's a good interruption. He says, I love you, but you don't know what you're talking about. And he especially interrupts. What does he interrupt, Adam? Glad you asked. He interrupts our fear. All the little dialogues of fear, all the little dialogues you have going on in your brain without and from within that want to highlight your ignorance, your failure, and your fear. The past, the present, and the future are terrifying. And God interrupts and he says, This is my son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. So you ready to listen? Listen, it's so great. So Jesus shows his divine nature, and when you see that, you're terrified. When he calms the storm, or walks on water, they're always terrified. And so this makes sense because just like in the Exodus, there's a terrifying fire and trembling on the mountain. And it's just scary. Now why this is a big deal is Jesus is there. He's transformed, which is like metamorphosis. It's like the caterpillar has become the butterfly. And Peter, John, and James are seeing that. And then Moses and Elijah are there. Now, why are they there? What's happening? Well, Moses is the guy who was tasked with giving the law, creating the nation. Elijah is a prophet saying, get the nation back to trusting God. And then there's Jesus, the king of the nation, of the people of God. And there they are talking. So you see this, Jesus is divine, but also your brain should go, oh, wait, shouldn't Moses and Elijah be dead? How are they talking and living? So it tells you all these things about God. It's a huge interruption because all you know is that people die. All you know that Jesus is a man. All you know, you only know what you know. And so the first intrusion or interruption into your life is he interrupts our ignorance. You only know what you know. I love you, but you don't know what you're talking about. And what I love about humanity is we're trying so hard to grasp everything. Like in every walk of life, we're trying to either know what we're talking about or pretend to know what we're talking about so others think we know what we're talking about. And so Peter sees this and he's like, this is good we're here. It's good we're here. Really, Peter? Why? Why is it good you're here? What is here? What is happening? I don't know. What is here? Where am I? And the reality is most of us don't know where we are right now. We don't know if we've done everything right in the past. We don't have the experience. It's like my kids going to college. College nowadays has figured out the internship because you graduate with a college degree and then everyone's like, you need experience to do something here. It's like, well, I was just in college. Now they're starting to give some experience because we don't really want to be confronted with our ignorance. Like, I know you might have a degree, but I don't know if you can do this. And it's here that Jesus says, I'm going to interrupt that, and all that, that's true. You don't know why you're here. You don't know what you're doing. Moses didn't either. But someone better than Moses is here, Jesus. Now, what does Jesus say? Or what does God say? Jesus is my son. The son knows how things are. The son grew up in the house. The son inherited things from God. The son is God. The son knows. He's not ignorant. So take a deep breath. The one who knows everything and does it right is here for you. He's interrupting your ignorance. But then there's also the idea of interrupting our performance. So like, what do we do? So Peter goes, it's good we're here. Why are you here, Peter? I don't know. So his next line of reasoning is, let me build three tents. I'll build three tents for this event. Why would he think that? Because that's what everybody else did. When God goes to Abraham in the land of Canaan or something, he builds like, I'm going to set up some kind of altar here and by this tree. He meets Isaac, Jacob. I'm going to set up some rocks. So Peter's like, all right, what did all the other guys do? We set up tents. We set up a booth to remember this. And this is where God has to interrupt and say, no, this is my son. He's better than Elijah. He's better than Moses. This is my son who has all experience, but this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. He knows what to do, and he does it right. So let me just stop your efforts there to try to do everything right. Let me stop you in your belief that if I respond to this correctly, life will be good, and we'll have navigated it, and God has to reward us or something. Let me just stop you there. Jesus does that. Jesus is the son with whom I'm well pleased. This is who's appearing before you. This is why this Mount of Transfiguration is so important. It's so important because it's changing our whole view of reality the same way it did for the people of God in Israel. When the God of the universe met with them in a pillar, a cloud, and a fire and spoke through Moses, now they couldn't go before him. Now we can go before the God of the universe because he's put on flesh and he's here among you. And he forgives for your ignorance. He forgives you for your failed performance. So I remember the first time, I don't know if you've ever landscaped professionally, but after my first year of college, I got a job at Tutco Landscaping. It was kind of a big place. They had like 6 or 7 trucks. And on the way to my first job, when you're landscaping in Seattle, it's always wet. And we're on our way to one of these House of Dreams. It's like, is that what they call it? The House of Dreams or something? Or they have like a show. They used to back in, this is the 90s. And they had like a show house. And we had the contract. It's my first day. And Steve, he was like an old soul. He was really young, but he was just cynical and upset that I was still in college. And he's like, he used to always say, "You're a lifer. You'll be back." Because I'd go away to college, and I'm like, "No, Steve, I'll never be like you." But I didn't know that relationship was there this first day. But the first day, Steve says, "All right, we're doing a big house. Don't mess it up." And then he says some things to me like, "Okay, just it's a wet day, so don't scalp it. Do you know what I'm talking about?" And I was like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I had no idea. It's completely ignorant. So I remember there's people in this house. It's like a big deal. There's people coming in to look at it. And I'm in the backyard, and I start to get the mower. And because the grass is so wet, the mower just sinks, right? And I start pushing it, and I'm like, this is my first day. I just push harder. And I'm pushing harder, and I do like one pass. And Steve comes running out, and like, "What are you doing?" He's like yelling at me. He's like, "You scalped it." So like, you know, you scalp your hair. You scalp the grass. It's just bald. And that's not a good look, apparently. And I was like, "Oh, that's what you meant. I'm sorry." And he's like, "Just stop. Finish everything, and I'll come back and just weed eat it." And I said, "Okay." And then I still didn't know what he was talking about. So then I was like, "Just finish everything. I don't know." So I keep like pushing through, and I do like 3 passes. And I'm like ruining the House of Dreams. It was like a complete failure. And he was like, "What are you doing?" They all yelled at me. And I knew I was in trouble when he comes out and he's on like the radio, because back it's before cell phones. And he's like, He scalped it. I can't believe he's scalping it. What's wrong with this guy? He's scalping it. And I'm like, so I just fell into fear. Like, I'm going to lose a job I thought that anybody could do. I thought landscaping was like the easier job. I was terrified. Anyway, this is where Peter's at. Peter scalped it. He didn't mean to. We don't mean to, but we just scalp. We don't know what God's talking about. We don't know what to do, and we end up terrified. And that's where Peter, James, and John end up. They're terrified because it's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do. And so all I do is fall and just recognize you are God in the flesh. You've come to us. This is terrifying. And what does Jesus do? Remember the story. What does Jesus do on the Mount of Transfiguration when he comes down from talking to Elijah and Moses? He comes down and he finds his boys on the ground, terrified. And this is your Savior. He's so great. This is the whole point of Jesus. It's God putting on the flesh. And Jesus, it says, he touches them. Hey, guys. He touches them and he says, "Fear not. Rise up and fear not. Get up. Don't fear." You're missing the point of God coming to us. It's not to destroy us. It's to save us. So when God says, "This is my son with whom I'm well pleased," now all you got to do is just listen. Just listen to him. Can you listen? You ever talk to people who you know aren't listening to you? And if you're close enough, you say, "Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me." Now, what I say is I go, "I need to see your eyes." I don't say it that way. I say it much more winsome. Like, "Hey, can I see your eyes? I'm feeling disrespected. Listen to me." All you got to do to listen is stop and just let go of all your ideas for a second. Just stop and go, "Okay, what? Are you listening?" God breaks through. It's like 3 times God's voice at Jesus' baptism. Here, and there's another time when he's like, God breaks forth and just says, "I will glorify him. I will glorify you." 3 times. But this is authentication. God says, "Listen to Jesus. That's all you need to do right now. Just listen." Okay. So we let go of all of our works. We let go of all of our trying to figure it out. And he says, "Fear not. just fear not. You will rise again. I'm exchanging my good works and my position as the Son for all your sin and all your brokenness and all your death. And what Jesus says are things like this. You know what he says. You can tell me. What has Jesus said? He said things like, I'll take your burden. I'll take your yoke. I'll give you my yoke. It's easy. Find rest. He says things like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I will give you life abundantly. He says things like, I forgive you. I give you my body. This is my body broken and given for you. Forgive them, Lord. This is what Jesus says. But here's the practice for today. In light of the Mount of Transfiguration, God says, this is God come to you. Listen to him. So let's apply that. Where are you terrified today? Like, I know a lot of your prayer requests. Like, I know Jana has a humongous workload right now. It's scary. So listen to him. Jana, I can handle creating the world and all that comes along with that. Lowry's always studying. He's like, I can handle all the information you need to know. And I can handle a good grade or a bad grade. I'm with you. I love you. Listen to him. He says, I gave my son to die for you. I know. We can go through everybody. The fear at work. People are talking bad about you. He's like, I know they talked bad about me, but I give you my life and I give you my status as a beloved child of God. You just listen. Because the righteous are those who live by faith. The righteous are the ones who hear it and say, I'm just trusting that. And over again, God says, you will not be ashamed for trusting in me. The fear of sickness. How are we going to pay for the sickness? How are we going to get healthy? Jesus says, I know, I heal people, and I'm with you. I will walk with you. Fear not. Just listen to him. This is my beloved son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And so, that's it. Don't you want more? Like, what do I do? How do I live? Just listen. Most of you are doing a pretty good job, except for that baby. We worked on that, so that was perfect. Good job, Millie. Perfect. So you can all be great at this. Just listen. He's loving, he's kind. And just like at Mount Sinai, we read in Exodus, he calls the people to eat. And then he gives them three festivals, he says, eat, that over a meal, God wants to have a meal where he confirms the promises. He says, I want to eat with you, I want you to talk with me, be present with me, and I want to confirm that I have done everything in the past. I know everything. I know how to do everything, and I'll keep all the promises I made to you. Let's have a meal so that you can rest in the promises. I'll provide the meal. And that's happening in the Old Testament. It's happening in the festivals, the things that God says do. And then Jesus says, yeah, I am the Son of God with whom he's well pleased. Listen to me, and so I'm going to set up a meal. So that the promises of God can be confirmed. So you've heard it, but then he's saying, and I'll even throw in a meal here with you because I love you. And I want you to know that this is true. So listen to him. Let God interrupt you, especially in the places where you're scared, you're anxious, you're mad at yourself. Let him interrupt you. Let his son interrupt you with the message of salvation in Christ, that he's died for you. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We pray that as we learn how to listen and receive your work towards us, your love to us, it's hard to believe, but we thank you for your Spirit who testifies these things to our hearts and minds. And Lord, we give you permission this week to interrupt us with your truth, with your light, with your word made flesh and dwelt among us anytime. We give you permission to interrupt us. And And we ask that you would, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wanted to confess together what it is we believe. Part of our listening, we're children, we just mimic back what our Father tells us. And I want to give us a chance to confess what it is we believe here, that everyone, there's a lot of other people who believe it as well. We're not alone in this faith. So let's do the Apostles' Creed on page E. No, what did you say? B. Oh, yeah, B. Let's stand for this one. I just feel like standing today. You guys need to stand up. So the old question is, so what is it exactly you believe? And you respond, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. So during this time, we're going to we take offering. It's a chance to go, thank you, God, that everything we have is a gift. And we give to your word, because your word is what ministers salvation to people. It's through hearing. Remember that verse? I remember Julie gave that verse on one of our Tuesday nights. She memorized that at school, right? It's through preaching, you hearing of the word, and through the hearing, God saves people. And so we listen, but we give then to God's work on earth as it is in heaven. And so as you consider giving to God and to his work, we also thank him for everything we have. And our custom as of this year in 2020 has been to pray together for someone during this time. And so if you have a prayer request that you would like everyone to be able to pray for you today, you have, praying for somebody else? I don't know. Yeah, it can't be. Absolutely. So, referring to Don Branchow from SeaWorld, Lindsay was good friends with her. Passed away 10 years ago in an accident. So, that's a perfect thing to pray for. So, do you want us to just pray for you? Let's put hands on Lindsay, because you are directly affected. Yeah, so if anybody wants to, we're going to pray for the Shem family, because they were part of that SeaWorld family, and it's a big loss. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for John, Lindsay, and Jack, and for their great love for you, and faithfulness and love for each other. And we thank you for those formative years at SeaWorld, where Don was such an integral part of Lindsay's life and faith, and even Jack. She prayed so much for Jack to be born, that we greatly miss her, Lord, and we mourn the reality of this world that has death at all. And so we pray and bring our faith into this world, saying, Lord, would you have mercy on the Branchow family? Would you have mercy on the Shem family as they remember this great loss? Would you have mercy and pour out your comfort and your hope? That we know, Dawn, if she could say anything, she's like, just keep hoping. We're going to see each other again in heaven. But Lord, we need your hope and your comfort as we mourn here on earth. And you promise us that. You say, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And you comfort us with the fact of resurrection and beauty and justice and truth. And so we cling to that now. But in the meantime, Lord, we lift up Scott and the Branchow family. Bless them. lead them to faith and hope and peace. And bless the Don Branchow run and all the things that are attached to that foundation, which are trying to love their neighbor and do good in this world. We thank you for those structures and for those efforts, and pray that you would greatly bless the Don Branchow Fund or that charity this year, just above and beyond what they could imagine. But above all, give them your peace. And we all pray this as your family, Lindsay and John and Jack. And together we say, amen. Thanks. Thanks for sharing that. It's been fun to pray. Like, part of the active righteousness, the things that we get to do that are just good, are praying for one another. That's a good thing. And again, it's not that we, our prayers, somehow we have some eternal value, but it's by faith. God, we know God can do whatever he wants with those prayers. It's just a good thing. And so please put prayer requests up. We pray for them. We pray for them during the week, but also on Sunday morning before church, and continue to pray for everything. Bring God into everything. So Jesus says on the night before he's betrayed, he knows he's going to be betrayed, and he does what God always does: is he redefines a meal, and he says, "There was the lamb." Passover lamb blood that you'd put on the door, but now I am the lamb. I am the lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. And so Jesus says, listen to him. God says, listen to him. And Jesus says, this is my body broken, breaks it, and given for you. In the same way, he takes the wine, he pours it, he gives thanks for it, he pours it out, and he says, this is my blood, this is my DNA, this is my inheritance, this is my life and death for you for forgiveness of sins. And so I want you to do this as often as you get together in remembrance of me. And we were talking on Wednesday night. One of the reasons I love to do the Lord's Supper every week now is because it's passive. It's something we receive from God. And we need that as much as we can, because we live in a world where we have to earn everything. And you have to put your effort in, and you get what you deserve. Sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you get unlucky, but we need a place where it's just passive. It's like, just receive, just listen and eat it. And hear God say, I forgive you, I love you, and receive it. So that's why we do this every week. That's why I love doing it, because I can't get enough of just undeserved, unmerited grace and favor poured out upon me. Well, that sounds pretty fun. So that's why we do this, and that's what it means. So let me set it apart. Lord, we thank you that this bread and this wine on the outside and grape juice in the middle is just that. But by your word, you create things, something out of nothing. You create saints out of sinners, and you have made this your body and your blood. And by faith, we come to receive your death and your resurrection, and remember that the old has died and the new has been born, and we walk in this newness of life. Nourish and nurture us in this faith, we ask. In Jesus' name. Let's all pray the Lord's Prayer as before we come to it, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. His death and his coming again. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So Joe reminded me I actually forgot to pass the plate. I'm so obsessed with money. So that's going to go around while we do some announcements. Of course, receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give you peace now and forever. Amen.